Tonight, Survivor Know-It-Alls for episode number 6 of David versus Goliath. It's sponsored by Stamps.com. On the Know-It-Alls, we talk about the smartest way to do everything, and the smartest way to do shipping is with Stamps.com. People want things on demand. Did you know you can get your postage on demand? All you need is Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can access all of the services at the U.S. Post Office right from your desk. Buy and print real U.S. postage for any letter or package available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Look, as a small business owner, we are just a David competing against all of these Goliaths. And we do a lot of shipping, Nicole and I, from our house for all of the Patreon incentives that we do. And we do it all with Stamps.com. They were a sponsor a couple years ago. We got the equipment. We started using it. And it is the best way to do any sort of shipping if you're a small business like we have. And I can't believe how much more convenient it is to do shipping this way from when I used to go to the post office and then have to figure out how many stamps I needed to buy to send something out. I've got a digital scale and I weigh everything and I print all of the postage from a printer here in my home. Right now, they've got a great offer, so you can start using Stamps.com to a 4-week trial, which includes the postage and that digital scale that goes right into your computer. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in RHAP. That's stamps.com and then enter RHAP.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that is right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Survivor Know-It-Alls here, episode number 6 of Survivor David versus Goliath. Stephen Fishback, happy Halloween.
I didn't know this was a spooktacular episode of the podcast. Now I need, today I'm wearing different glasses than I usually wear. I bet you didn't recognize me.
I did not. Stephen Fishback, how are you, sir?
Well, for those of you who are listening at home and deprived of this incredible video feed, Rob is dressed up as Mr. Incredible himself, and his arms are bulging out of his Mr. Incredible shirt, and he's got a mask on, and you can't even tell that it's the dorky Rob Cesternino that we typically know.
No, that is uncalled for, sir.
Oh, no, dorky is the highest compliment. I consider myself an avid dork.
Are you you're a brochacho now?
I'm a dork chacho.
You've graduated to bro chacho. Anyway, Steven, it's been a minute since we got to talk. We did not get to speak after last week's episode, so a lot to catch up on here on this non-live edition of Survivor Know-It-Alls here on Halloween night. And I apologize that my trick-or-treating has taken me away from the podcast for a couple of hours, but hopefully we get into everything that you need to know here tonight about this latest episode of Survivor David versus Goliath. Of course, we will be speaking with Lyrsa on the exit interview tomorrow.
Excuse me?
Yes. Unfortunately, we will talk with Lyrsa tomorrow on the Survivor exit interview. And then, Stephen, a great week of podcasts. Once again, your friend and mine, Randy Bailey, will join me on the recap show, not the feedback show.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we will get into everything from the feedback show this weekend with Ali Lasher, who is the host of our MTV reality wrap-ups that I know Stephen is so fond of. And then we'll get into
The great Ali Lasher.
Everything with the Wiggle Room over the weekend. All right. Steven,
big week for wand offs, I hear.
Well, 51 wand offs were submitted this week, so we'll see.
Is that a record?
I don't know. It's close. If it's not the record, it's right up there. Jacket Gate really captured the hearts and minds of the Survivor fans, Stephen. And this was like
an epic moment in the history of the show. I feel like this is one of those, that jacket comment was one of those moments that we will always remember. Like, there's not like, you know, there's things like when Marty pretended to be a chess player and use a tennis player's name. Like, those are like funny things that last for a couple of seasons. But this feels like one of those moments that's so great and so absurd that it's truly historic in the life of the series.
Yeah, it was just such a climactic moment in that episode last week. And then we got a follow-up to that. So a lot of stuff to talk through. Let me also wish a quick happy birthday before I forget this to Pia Piscatelli, our mutual friend, Steve, his wife and his girlfriend. Sorry, I don't mean to accelerate things. Happy birthday to Pia.
Surprise engagement.
That was not an engagement. I apologize, Steve, for putting you on the spot. They very much enjoy the Survivor Know-It-Alls. And that's just the kind of thing when I have to say it now or I'll forget before the end of the show. Okay, Steven.
Happy birthday, Pia.
Happy birthday to Pia on Halloween night. Also, happy birthday to Dominic Abate.
Dominic Abate's birthday today, and my friend Scott, his wife Margaret, her birthday.
Okay, all right. So, yeah. Stephen, lots to pick up here, because you know, this is sort of like the logical follow up to last week's episode with the Jacket Gate. Now, let me just start off with you and I didn't get to talk about this, but since the airing of the episode and tonight's episode, and then ultimately we learned a lot in the first act tonight that there was this plot to ultimately pry Natalie's jacket from her. And you had tweeted to Angelina after the episode, or you had tweeted about the jacket issue, and then Angelina responded. There were secret scenes, and then the episode itself confirmed all of that, about how Angelina went through all of this to get Natalie's jacket from her. Steven, do you feel like was this an ambitious move that you liked, or do you feel like was this a short-sighted move to try to go after the jacket in this caper?
Yeah, it was definitely ambitious, but it was also quite, well, maybe we'll end up not being that short-sighted given that Lyrsa is now gone. But, you know, it's definitely the kind of move that is a mistake, right? Because Lyrsa then feels like, wow, you value me so little that you're willing to risk my life in this game for a piece of fabric. Now, we didn't have a chance to talk about it. I wrote a little bit in my blog, you know, and I don't actually know, maybe you guys talked about this in Reno. A jacket actually does have strategic value, right? If you can get a better night's sleep, if you're warmer, if you're a little bit less at the mercy of the elements, and you know, that actually does have a meaningful strategic impact on your game. If your brain functions a little better, if you're a little sharper, if you're a little more well-rested, that can actually be a differentiating factor in a game like Survivor, where saying the wrong word or a 5-second difference at a challenge is the difference between, you know, winning the game and losing it. But that said, you know, whenever you write someone's name down as a decoy boot, they are going to hold it against you. Like, nobody feels that. No one will ever accept your rationale. No one will ever say, oh, I was just the decoy boot. That's cool. I remember in Token Chains, you know, Tyson told Aaron Lobdell, well, we're voting for, you know, maybe it was Sierra, mm-hmm. Sierra, and you're the decoy. And like, she wasn't cool with that. No one wants to be the decoy. And, you know, I think you could see that with Lyrsa. You know, she really felt undervalued by Angelina. And then, you know, maybe even more relevantly, since Lyrsa, again, is now gone, everybody else was like, look what this woman is willing to do for a jacket. So I understood the idea. I do think there was reason behind it, but the optics were terrible.
Yeah. First off, I just want to say I really like how the show handled its business with all of this between these last two episodes, because they didn't tip us off in episode number 5 that Angelina was, you know, in on the plan. And then we got to watch it play out really from Natalie's perspective of that. OK, is this real? Is this not real? And then we were able to debate for at least for a few seconds, about whether or not Angelina had wanted to take the jacket or actually was blindsided. And then tonight in the episode, we got the reveal in the previously on Survivor that Jeff Probst was the one to explain it to the viewers of that actually, and we got to see her vote. And I always love it when Survivor does this, where they give us new information in the previously on, and then we got to see the reactions of everybody. And we saw Lyrsa talking about this of like, how could, she said it was fine, that she said that it was all good, she didn't mean it, but she wrote my name down for a jacket. And then we even got to see, and maybe this is more damning, as I'm trying to see Steven through this mask, that Mike and Nick talked about it as well. How can we trust Angelino? You saw what the waterworks come out for a jacket. What is she willing to do for $1 million? And I do think that this jacket gambit came at the expense of a lot of social capital between some of her allies.
Yes, I totally agree. And I actually think that this comes from her being a Goliath, like not like that she has the temperament of a Goliath, but I mean, being on the dominant tribe, I think you lose sight often a little bit of just the reality almost of the people on the minority tribe. You know, you start to see them more as pawns in your game and less as important strategic players. I'm writing about this a little bit in my blog for this week's episode, but you had Alec last week who had this quote that was like, I don't even see them as strategically real players. They're just pawns. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this is why, you know, season after season, you see these bigger groups, they swap, they merge, and the people in the minority group are like hustling around and they're working extra hard around camp and they're agreeing to anything that they want. And the people in the dominant group start to believe their own hype a little bit. They start to think like, yes, I am the power player here. You know, Angelina was the big player on the Goliath tribe, right? She engineered Jeremy's ouster. So from her perspective, she's probably like the master manipulator. And here you have, you know, Nick coming to her and Lyrsa coming to her and saying like, save me. I'll do anything. You can see how someone in that spot might start to think like, I'm in so in control. What if I just like, you know, try to make this jacket maneuver? And that's the kind of thing that ends up really biting you in the long run.
All right, let's talk about the actual vote tonight where Lyrsa ended up going home. Were you pretty confident that it was going to be Lyrsa, or is there room for doubt?
No,
in your mind?
Great misdirection. I thought for sure it was going to be Angelina. Angelina seemed to me to be the smarter boot in this choice. What did you think?
So it was really, really interesting where I went like all the way around where I thought immediately after the challenge, based on how Mike was talking, I thought Mike was going to fall on his own sword. I thought Mike was going to say was basically saying like, oh, it's a shame that somebody has to go and everybody's worked so hard to be at this point. And I thought that Mike was sort of setting up the thing where it's like, you know what, guys, you all deserve it. Vote me out. I have a great life. You guys. And I was a couple times I thought he was going there. So kudos to Mike for not doing what I thought he was attempting to do. And so we had this talk about how is it going to be a 2-2 vote? And we had this very interesting scene where Nick was talking with Angelina about, hey, I'll vote with her. Yeah. And he's saying, like, I'm selling Angelina a bill of goods. And then we saw Mike talking with Lyrsa about how he's going to vote out Angelina. Everybody's going to be so mad at him. But it was this very interesting vote where it was set up so well that it was not just 2-2 here, but it was also 7-7 in the game. So this was going to tip the scales one way or the other heading into the merge next week.
Yeah, I love that shot in specific when they pulled back and you see they're like 10 feet away from each other. Mm-hmm. You have like on the one hand, you've got Angelina talking to Nick in the water and you have Mike and Lyrsa on the shore and they're like right there. It is, you know, there's no artifice here. Everyone is hustling.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, so I want to, I guess, take this from a few different people's perspective. Obviously, this was a good move for Angelina to stay in the game.
Bad for Lyrsa.
So hey, this was a bad move for Lyrsa to get voted out. So I guess the two people that we should look at it from the perspective of are Mike and Nick. And so for Mike, I think that he is the person that ultimately benefits the most, where he gets to keep the Goliaths happy. He seemed very concerned that what will the other Goliaths say after we already voted out Natalie? Will they look at me as the ultimate Goliath turncoat if we get to the merge? How could you, Mike, vote out the other two Goliaths that you were with? You flipped against the Goliaths. How could you? So I think for him, everything checks out. So I think that the interesting person to look at it from the perspective of is Mr. Kentucky Nick Wilson.
Yeah. And, you know, you have a confessional with Nick saying that he is, you know, he thinks that it's he wants to get rid of Angelina. He's going to try to talk Mike into getting rid of Angelina. That's his goal, is to convince Mike that they need to get rid of Angelina. So obviously he doesn't achieve his goal.
Yeah. Ultimately, he sides with his Mr. Rock star buddy in Mike over Lyrsa. And I kind of feel like that for Nick, you know, I think there's good and there's bad to it. I think he was in a really tight spot. I do think that there is a world where he's the boot at the merge next week.
Oh, that's funny. I feel like Nick's in a pretty good spot. You know, Mike is probably going to protect him to a certain degree. Maybe Angelina will protect him. You know, maybe, you know, ultimately, right, I do think this actually maybe was, I mean, obviously it would be best for Nick if Lyrsa stayed and Angelina went home. But it's not a huge loss, because the important thing from my point of view is, like, he and Mike had their conversation. They probably talked it out. Nick went along with what Mike wanted to do. So he kind of, like, reinforced that rock star alliance. And in some ways, it's not always, you know, it's not a bad thing if you give in to your allies a little mm-hmm. bit. You know, it shows that you're willing to work with them. They feel more comfortable in you. And maybe Angelina feels loyalty to that too. You know, from Angelina and, you know, we're, from our perspective, right, it's like Mike and Nick making this decision together. But from Angelina's perspective, you know, she and Nick just voted together to eliminate someone, mm-hmm. you know? So there's nothing builds trust in Survivor like making a plan together and sticking to it and voting together. So, yeah. I think that, you know, this actually could be a good spot for him.
So
did you think, oh, go ahead.
I think that it was certainly the lesser of two evils. I think that for Nick, this was better than potentially going to Rocks and going out at this point. So, you know, let's play this out. So if it goes to Rocks, I believe the way it's going to be is that Angelina is going to be safe, two votes for Angelina, and then Lyrsa is going to be safe, two votes for...
Not with four. No, with four, it's everyone draws a rock.
Are you positive about this?
Nope, but I'm 95% sure.
Okay. That's an interesting why that I it's been a minute.
Because that's how they played it. Well, I guess in... how do they do it in Marquesas?
So in Marquesas, it worked out where, let's see, that, so the people that had the votes against them were not immune in that scenario. So,
yeah, I think that's the whole point of Rocks at four, is that it's not like between two people.
That would be absurd. I'm sure somebody knows for sure in terms of...
I'm pretty sure that Rocks is everybody draws, because like it wouldn't make sense.
But why
if it was
does
like,
the rule change if it's at six, then the two people who got the votes cast against them were immune? I feel like that the rule changed after that.
No, well, now they went to a fire making competition, right, at four, which is now just the mandated fire making competition.
Oh, so would they make fire at a 2-2 tie at four?
I don't know. I would bet they would go to a 4-person rock draw. I don't know.
Okay, maybe we can get some clarification on that along the way, because it is a little bit of a gray area. But either way, for Nick Wilson, I think that it is better to go along with this plan, even if it is not the ideal situation for him, than to potentially. But where I'm saying that he could be the merge boot is when now there are seven Goliaths, there are six Davids. If the Goliaths vote as a block, you know, where is their vote going? You might look at Nick as he might be the most athletic of this group. I mean, maybe it's at him or is it Davey? You know, I think that there is a non-zero chance he could be the person that gets targeted.
Well, and the next week on, we saw Allison targeting Christian as the heart of the Davids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, you've got people, I mean, maybe you're right that it's with the rock draw that it's just two. I'm pretty sure it's four, but anyway, whatever.
Either way,
stay
out of that rock draw.
I mean, Nick certainly could be a target, but you know, I actually think it could be not bad. I mean, when was the last time that, you know, the majority alliance that had the edge actually successfully turned on, you know, the minority group and like picked them off one by one, like Survivor 26, maybe?
I mean, all the way to the end.
Although Corinne was the boot at the merge boot in Survivor 26, so it would have to be like, you know, it's like Survivor 22, you know? So
I mean, I think
it's
game
not
changers,
something that happens.
There was a good amount of, you know, the majority picking off the minority at the at the merge, if I recall.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
You know, and last season, just because they went after Chris Noble first, but then they, you know, proceeded to go back to all of the
right. Navidi Strong was a pretty that actually was a pretty good example of a dominant tribe kind of like rocking it down to the end. Which although is, you know you got Laurel who's the third there, so
yeah. And just one other thing on the Nick debate about what he decided to ultimately get to, you know, to cut bait on Lyrsa, that, you know, I don't know how tight Nick and Lyrsa ultimately were. You know, they ended up voting on the same side in that one tribal council that the Davids ended up going to back in the second episode. But they were sort of like, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon to get to. They were in the same alliance where it was like Elizabeth was with Lyrsa and they talked to Gabby and Gabby talked to Christian and Christian talked to Nick. It was not really. And they were the five people. But he was sort of then like distancing himself from that group where he has, you know, more hooks into Carl and to and Davey and even Elizabeth. It was almost like that Lyrsa, he was on the tribe with her, but in a way that in the original David tribe, he wasn't super connected to her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what did you think of, did you think that Mike's read on, I feel like that was coming from Mike more than it was coming from the other tribe members, you know, when they showed up at Reward and like, you know, almost regardless of who goes home, everyone like makes their shocked face, right? Because mm-hmm. you're like cued to make your shocked face. And, you know, sometimes when it's a genuinely shocking boot, you know, then people are like, you know, rolling on the ground in tears or whatever. But for the most part, we're all like, because, you know, that's sort of what you think you're supposed to do almost, you know? So I wondered how much of Mike's read on that, of like the Goliaths judging him, was really the Goliaths judging him and more his own perception of that possibility.
Yeah, I don't know which of the Goliaths would be super upset about Natalie. It did not seem like Natalie had any super close allies.
You know, that's the other thing. It's Natalie, of all people.
Yeah, so maybe they were just shocked at the Goliath. You know, I think that maybe it was the shock face of there were three Goliaths, and how could a Goliath have gone home when they had the numerical advantage, more so than the specific instance of who the person was.
Yeah. Well, nevertheless, you know, I mean, probably the right choice. I mean, certainly a good choice for Mike. Certainly it works out well for Mike.
Okay. Let's touch on some of the other tribes that we saw tonight. And we got to see some drama here with this green tribe, where we got to see a little bit more of Christian, and he is bonding with the Brochachos in Dan and the mayor of Slamtown. And what do you think of this growth narrative for Christian that he is finally...
He went full Cochran tonight. This was like, you know, my whole thing with Christian's story until now is that he didn't have that Cochran moment of like, I used to be a David and now I'm one of the guys. I mean, Cochran literally had this moment of like broing down
so
with
you
the
like
guys.
Christian now more than ever.
Yeah, exactly. He's the new Cochran. It did. I mean, didn't don't you agree? Like it was like straight out of the Cochran Caramel and playbook.
It did seem Cochran-esque in that, you know, look at me. I have been, you know, this David all of my life. And now I have fully become a Goliath because I have been accepted by the Brochachos.
Do you think it's a bad thing for Christian that now he's a Goliath? Like, don't you not want to be a Goliath on the David versus Goliath season?
I think that this was a positive for him because I don't think that it turned into like the story wasn't Gabby saying Christian has changed. Now he's with the, you know, he sits at the table with the cool kids and now I don't even know who he is anymore. He's got a, you know, I'm going to talk to Allison and we need to blindside Christian tonight. She was, you know, still more dissatisfied with Dan of all people.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, that from, you know, how much every time we get a confessional with Christian talking about how much he's fitting in, they go right back to Gabby and be like, I don't feel like I'm fitting in as much as Christian. You know, her story is so wrapped up in his story. You know, it's never just like I'm Gabby, I'm making moves. It's I'm Gabby, I don't fit in the way Christian fits in. Maybe I need to make some moves of my own. And I'm really curious to see the way it plays out, because this story, like those two have like this really interesting dynamic where they're great allies, but Christian's great at mingling with the others. Gabby's not so great at that, but it's very much in contrast to each other in that respect.
Do you think that Christian views Gabby as his number one ally in the game, or is she just one of many options for him?
Maybe I don't know how strongly he feels about Mason and Dixon anymore, but I bet she's probably still his number one. I mean, they were really tight out of the gate. Then they obviously swapped together. And I would bet that you know, that length of time, I would think that they're probably each other's number one.
So where I thought this episode was going to ultimately go was I thought that it was going to be that green tribe that went to tribal council. And I really thought that we were setting up for a Dan blindside tonight. Once we saw Gabby talk to Dr. Allison and Dr. Allison saying, okay, she was on board for the Dan blindside. We saw Dan earlier in the game or in this episode talk about how he's doing so great. He's so happy with his position in the game. I kind of thought that he was being set up for the fall tonight. Did you think that that was a possibility? And do you think that if not, is that looming?
Yes. So first of all, I thought this episode did an amazing job of showing us all three tribes and showing kind of where the power dynamics were on each of them, which is great because then as you go into the immunity challenge, you really have no idea who's going to win because like you've seen a story from each of the three different tribes. You know, sometimes when they focus really a lot on one tribe, you're like, okay, that's the tribe that obviously is going to lose the immunity challenge because, you know, they're the only ones where there's any conflict brewing. I absolutely worried, you know, I do think it did seem like Dan is being set up to be a big target, right? I mean, he certainly could be the merge boot. If Allison's already talking about voting him out, he's a big visible target. Everyone knows that he has at least one idol. You know, Carl's got an idol nullifier. Has there been some debate over whether the idol nullifier nullifies all idols or just one idol?
We've definitely talked about it on the podcast, and it really comes down to sort of like the order of operations in terms of when the idol nullifier gets played. From my understanding, the idol nullifier goes into the urn, the yes. idol gets played, and then when Dan says, hey, Jeff, I'm playing this idol tonight, Jeff says, okay, sorry, your idol has been nullified. And it's unclear whether Dan can go back into his bag and say, how about this one?
That would be such a great moment for the show. That would be such a great, crazy moment. I hope that happens.
Yeah. So we don't know. We don't know exactly if it means actually once you put the X on somebody, they can't play any idols at that tribal council. Like maybe he gets to keep his other idol, but he doesn't get to play it at that tribal council. I don't know exactly how it would work, but that's the kind
of thing. Not that useful if he gets to keep it and then goes home.
Right. Right.
So but a great souvenir.
That's the kind of thing that we would have to sit down with the Survivor production team to be able to answer that question. But I do feel like, Stephen, that going into the merge, if I had to figure out who was going to go home at the merge next week, I think I would have Dan pretty high in that.
I think Dan is high for me, too. Who else? Like, Dan has got to be up there. I actually could see Christian being a boot because, you know, he is the heart of the Davids. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see certainly there's an argument for Nick. John is sort of like, just because he's such a beast and he's so visible, mm-hmm. I don't really think that's likely. Who else? Who do you think is another, like, possible big merge target?
Well, I wonder, you know, is Alec somebody who could be a target as sort of like,
I guess as like a turncoat.
Yeah. If, you know, once Kara sort of like throws him under the bus, could he be potentially. So I think that, you know, judging on, you know, at least a little bit that we've seen in the preview, it looks like that he is a big swing in terms of, you know, there's always that thing at the merge where could he overplay his position? Is he feeling more like he's involved with the Davids? And ultimately, do the Goliaths end up, you know, turning on him? That would be a little bit crazy because they have a 7-6 advantage, but either way, it's a fun season that we don't really know a week out who's going to be going home at the merge. Let's talk about that tribe because Alec did not really get a lot of airtime tonight. We saw a lot of what was going on with Elizabeth, who we found out had, much like Pat, ish back issues.
Yeah. Did you say fish back issues?
Yes. Not really. Much like Pat, back issues.
Back issues. I didn't ever know about this until I think JT did it on the Game Changer Shelter. But like the splitting the bamboo in two, like this is new to me. But like apparently you can create a level bamboo floor with by cutting the bamboo planks in two. Were you aware of that? Explain this to me.
So in terms of, because we didn't have bamboo in the Amazon, that was all like, you know, we had like you know, like thin branches that you could do, but there's no bamboo in the Amazon. But in terms of, so what do? You cut it, and then are you putting the flat side down, and then it's sort of like it just like it flattens out?
No, I think it's the opposite. So basically, you know, the problem obviously is that bamboo is
round.
Right. So you lie on it and it like inherently you're like sinking into cracks and it's like digging into your spine and you can't get like a level surface. So it's incredibly uncomfortable and painful to sleep on. Mm-hmm. But if you cut it in two, I think it's the other way. I think it's like the flat side. That wouldn't make sense if you turned it flat side down, right? That would, unless you did it staggered, but maybe you stagger it. I have no idea.
I wonder if you cut it in half, does it sort of like give out a little bit? And because it would be, I think, very hard to sleep on if you had the round side down.
Yeah, because I honestly don't know. That's how I assumed it was done, was the round side down. But you're probably right that that doesn't make sense either. But anyway, apparently you can create a flat shelter floor this way. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth decides to do that.
Yeah. Now, did you feel like that Elizabeth was having a meltdown here, Stephen?
No, that was crazy to me. It was like, so she doesn't want to sleep on this, you know, in this way anymore. She starts to take action to fix it herself. And the other guys freak out about it. Like that's crazy. Like, they're like, you don't have enough time. Also, I was asleep. Also, you know, but what I don't get is like, I guess you can't really have part of the shelter. Here's ultimately the problem, right? You can't have part of the shelter be full bamboo logs and the other part of the shelter be not full bamboo logs because, you know, basically the shelter braces against itself, right? So, depending on how it's tied down, but for the most part, you probably need, you know, everything kind of needs to be lined up.
But she couldn't just have her bed be the, you know, split bamboo and leave everybody else.
No, that's what I was saying. I'm not sure if you could do that unless it was really lashed well, because you need it all there so that it braces itself. Otherwise, like as soon as you lie down, like the bamboo is going to go flying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, it's like, why not just let her try? Like, let her start. Let her do a little bit.
Yeah, I think the issue that the guys had was that it was sort of later in the day that she was trying to take on this project, where we heard Davey say, this is not a half day project. This is a full day project to do what you were doing. We saw Carl sleeping when she starts banging with the machete to try to cut those. And again, this is the kind of thing. And this sort of came up at the merge in Survivor of the Amazon, that Roger, you know, like all these, you know, there's all these young people. And then we had beers and we were like up all night, and then he was up like super early in the morning, like hammering a log in half for the fire. But yeah. You know, so it's one thing that, you know, you want to be as comfortable as possible, but you also have to be very mindful of what reactions your actions are having on people.
Well, yeah, but if it's the middle of the day, you can't be like, oh, I'm sorry that you're napping, you know, instead of working. Like, if it's the day at camp, you should be working. I don't know.
I'm not a taskmaster.
Just like, you know, or let somebody else work. You can't like object. If it's the middle of the day and you're in a survival situation, you can't be upset that someone else is doing work. I mean, so you sided more with Davey and Carl in terms of laziness. I guess this really sort of says it all.
Look, I'm siding with people in terms of being considerate, in terms of that if you wanted to do that, I think that move before you start taking apart the shelter should be, hey, Davey, do you mind if I start chopping the bamboo that we sleep on in half? Hey, Carl, do you mind if I do this? I have this project that I want to do. And it was like, hey, go to town, go crazy, or let me help you with that. But I think that this is the kind of thing that gets you in trouble on Survivor, where you sort of freelance and decide, hey, I'm doing this. You know, I need to be comfortable. And I'm sure she has the greatest reasons in the world, and she has these back issues. All that is explainable. But I think that what you want to do is ask for permission rather than forgive in that situation and explain, hey, I have this back issue. It would really mean the world to me if we could do that. I think that you would garner more goodwill than just go ahead and start that project on your own.
Yeah, I know. Of course, there's always a better way to have done it. But, you know, I certainly agree with you that, like, ideally, Elizabeth would have, you know, phrased it in that way at the start of the day. She would have said the perfect thing in the perfect way to the perfect people. But the perfect being the enemy of the good, I certainly sided more with her as someone who was taking her fate into her own hands and just beginning a project without waiting for the whole community to embrace it.
Now, based on what we saw, though, that we saw Kara saying, like, oh, she feels like that. Okay, well, this might be the crack that she needs to be able, like, this group of Davids, they are not necessarily all on the same page after this. Do you think that there will be ramifications following this, or do you think that this was just sort of like a isolated incident blowing off steam and the Davids are going to be fine?
Yeah, I mean, I really think this merge is probably not going to be a David versus Goliath merge. I think that everyone is kind of going to be scrambling all over the place. You know, certainly the tribal alliances we've seen have mostly been cross-tribal, right? You know, the bonds we've seen being made, you know, between Nick and Mike, you know, you have Christian and the Brochachos, we have Gabby and Allison. Davey worked with the Davids, I'm sorry, with the Goliaths, and Alec, sorry, David and Alec were the Davey David thing kills me. Alec worked with the Davids, among them Davey. And so, you know, I think we've seen a lot of cross tribal teams being made, and I would be more surprised if this was a party line vote for the, you know, between those two groups than if a lot of intermingling happened.
Yeah, I really do think that this is going to be fascinating to see how this next vote is going to go, because you have Kara and Alec, who in the game do not seem to be on the same page, where one of them is going to probably end up siding with the Davids, you would imagine. It seems unlikely to think that both of them are going to, after the vote against Natalia, for both of them to end up back with the Goliaths. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, although Kara, you know, was not, you know, she certainly was not Team David in that. You know, she voted with Natalia.
Mm-hmm. Right. So is she going to go back and sell out Alec to the other Davids? Because
I see what you're saying.
We saw Kara, who she's been aligned with Angelina in this game, where we saw that they were going to talk about having this women's alliance. She also was very tightly aligned with Dan, where she was with him when they found the idol. We saw Dan talking about Kara again tonight. And then going into next week, if there's a contingency of the Goliaths who are talking about getting rid of Christian, will the Brochachos in Dan and the mayor of Slamtown be on board with a plan to go after John? I would have to think that they would not want they would not want Christian to be the first target at the merge. So I don't know if everybody's totally on the same page. Yeah.
Who's someone you think that everyone would be in favor of voting out?
You know, I don't know if we have that person right now. It's really interesting going into that. I think that there are a lot of people who are ripe targets, and you know, it'll be fun to watch all the scrambling next week.
I mean, Alec really is the one person who you can be like, this guy has alienated his allies. He hasn't made particularly great friends with his enemies. He's betrayed the Goliaths. The Davids obviously don't care for him, not care for him, but care about him.
Yeah, but Steven, that they're down 7-6. He could be the swing vote this week.
Right. But I'm just saying,
the seventh vote for the Davids to take out a Goliath.
If you had to pick like one guy who didn't necessarily have any clear ties to people, you know, you might think Alec, you know, you might think Allison here, you know, who hasn't really had we haven't seen a lot of ties from Allison.
See, I think you'd have to look at somebody as a target who, you know, neither side thinks is of use to them. So I wonder could potentially, when, you know, going back to Dan, is he somebody that the only connection that he would have with a David would be with Christian? And does Christian feel good enough about him that he would say that he would fight to keep him in the game? And if Alec was on board as the seventh vote with the Davids, could he potentially be the target from the other side? It'll be really fun going into this merge. We've been lucky.
Merge is always the best episode of the season, and it'll be exciting to see how things shake out.
Okay. Steven, in terms of your fishy award tonight, have you given thought to who will receive the coveted award?
It is, once again, the trees for being so beautiful.
The bamboo?
Bamboo. No, it goes to Mike White.
Okay, Mike White. I'm on board with this.
Yeah.
I think that...
Cesty?
Yeah, well, that I don't really do that. I feel like that you
force
that.
Yeah, because you get, yeah, right, because you don't like, you know, all you don't like people calling you out on all the rules. Oh, wait, you gave the cesty to this type of person last week, and this, and now you're giving it to this type of person this week.
You get so caught
inconsistent.
Up in this,
that inconsistent.
That you I don't make you give out an award. You give it out. People want, look, I'm reporting to you what I hear from people.
Yeah, I would rather be ignorant. Okay. That's my cri de coeur. I would rather be ignorant.
Yeah. Life philosophy. Yeah, and last week you gave it to Nick.
Yeah. So both of the rock stars now are going to be fishy winners.
Yes. Steven, did you like the immunity challenge tonight?
Yeah, it was a fun one, wasn't it? It was interesting. I mean, what a great challenge that rewarded teamwork, also had like obviously a huge strength component. Mm-hmm. You didn't like it?
No, I thought it was good. I thought that Jeff was very conflicted in calling the challenge, where I feel like on the one hand, he wanted to berate the Purple Tribe for doing so bad. But on the other hand, he was trying to sort of like, find the unstoppable will of the human spirit of like, these people are not giving up. Look at them. Yeah. But they did so bad. You guys are terrible. This is a disaster. This is a survivor blowout, but you're not giving up. But move faster.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the two sides of his personality, like warring with each other.
Yeah, this is like on one, like the little angel was like, guys, you can do it. And then the others are like, you guys are a disaster. This is the worst tribe I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it did turn out that purple tribe turned out to be a little outgunned when we take a look at sort of like, and they also had Natalie as well. So they ended up not doing great. I think it was Mike White who called them. They were the Davids of the David tribe.
The David or the Davids of the Davids. Yeah. What do you think of all these knives that are entering the two camps, right? We have two sets of cookware.
Yes.
They're dangerous. A lot of knives.
Yeah. I can't recall that much cutlery making it onto Survivor before.
Yeah. I certainly never had I guess we actually might've had knives at one point, but a lot of knives.
A lot of knives here, Steven. They will come out in the merge, hopefully only figuratively.
Nicely done.
Okay. All right. Steven, anything else about this week's episode of Survivor as we are six episodes in the Survivor David versus Goliath?
It's a season of staying strong. Who do you think, Rob? Who do you think right now, gun to your head is going to win? Or who are your favorites, your contenders to win it all?
Okay. I mean, I think that there's, we could probably get it down to like five or six people. Do you want to hear, the list?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me go through the tribes. I feel like Nick, I think, has winner upside.
Oh yeah. I think Nick a lot.
Nick has upside. Mike, I feel like not as much, and Angelina, I don't think can win.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, can win is always tough, but I don't think either of them will win.
Mm-hmm. On the green tribe, I feel like that Christian definitely has the winner upside.
Yeah.
I feel like that. Dan, I don't think so. John, I can, if I squint hard enough, totally. The thing about John, though, he's been a great character on the show, but strategically, I don't think we've seen him do anything yet.
But he hasn't, like, he's been to tribal council once.
He went to one tribal council, right. So he has not, hard to really, in my mind, I don't know how good of a player he is yet.
But you don't want to be the guy. I mean, this is exactly what was wrong with Angelina, right? She was the one at that first tribal council who was like calling the shot. You don't want to be that person. Like, you don't want to be the one who's like making the big play at the first tribal council.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to grade him. It's more of an incomplete. I don't think Dan can do it.
Gabby,
I think, is right there. But again, I'd love to see Gabby in some capacity as sort of her own entity and separated from Christian.
Yeah. And I really do feel like we're going to see Gabby break out of her shell. And, I thought that this was a transitional episode for her where she's been like so down on herself. And then she had that great line, like, hope is not a strategy. Mm-hmm. I've got to start making some moves. And, you saw her begin that. So I've got like a lot of hope that hope is my strategy for Gabby.
Yes. And Dr. Allison, and the only thing holding me back on her is that we've seen so little of her. That's been, but I think that we took a big step in correcting that tonight. So I would say that I won't say it's absolute zero at this point, but she needs to make up a lot of ground. And then there's a lot of people, I think, also on the orange tribe. I'm not feeling it for Kara or for Alec, but I think.
Oh, I like Kara.
I'm not, nothing against her. I'm not seeing enough there.
But she has been, I totally disagree. She's been so strategic throughout the game.
Throughout the game.
Oh, I mean, even okay. So first of all, you have her romance with Dan,
right?
Where she, you know, that was like more strategic for her. She recognized how that it was bad for her.
I will give you that. That Jeremy
she played
said
both
that
sides.
Dan has a romance, and Kara has a strategy. That was per.
And you saw her play both sides. You know, she like cozied up to Dan in the one hand, and then she's also saying to the girls, like, I am not in that with him. Like, no. You know, yes, she was out of the loop on the Natalia blind
totally
side.
I feel like that's out a of good, the loop to the point where like that's Alec a good thing. Was whispering in Elizabeth's ear, and she says to Natalia, I believe him. It makes sense to me. I don't know.
But you know, I don't know if you want to be in the loop on a bad move. And then you have then you have,
stop the bad move.
But immediately afterwards, she's like doing damage control, you know, she's going to everybody making the case. So I feel like she's got a shot here.
Okay. All right. Well, nothing against Kara. I'm sure she's, she's fine, but, I wouldn't have her, I guess, in my top 10.
Okay. I do.
Okay. Maybe she's right there, right around 8, 9, 10. And then Davey, I think, has been really good. Carl, he was my winner pick. I haven't seen anything to disqualify Carl.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, I thought it was rough tonight, but I don't think that there was anything that sort of like knocked her out of contention.
Yeah, it's a fun season because it doesn't have the sense of like, here's a few dominant players. Now, I also felt like, I mean, Ghost Island, I think before the merge was not as like the Wendell and Dom show as it became at the merge. So, you know,
But the issue with Ghost Island was that we had some, big personalities, but they all like went out Jacob, the whole premiere was Jacob Derwin. And then he went out. And then you had some other people that you were talking about as contenders, like a Stephanie James. Johnson, who went out, Bradley also. So, you know, so it was really, you sort of left with
James Lim.
Yeah, sure. And
mastermind.
Yes. So you really like, when you got down to, and then, we don't need to all relitigate, Ghost Island, but, there was just like half the group, you know, was sort of like, you didn't really feel like, you know, Seabass or Jenna or Chelsea or Libby, you know, when you got to the merge, you know, had a shot at that thing. Angela.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this season, it has seemed like some of the less strategic players have been the one. I mean, Natalia was certainly very strategic. Lursa. I mean, you know, Lursa wouldn't even engage with Angelina. And maybe that's to her credit. But maybe that's actually to her. You know, I don't know. What did you think of that? Did you think like when Angelina approaches Lursa and Lursa's like, I'm not even having it at all with you. Is that like a good play by Lursa? Cause like obviously Angelina's blowing smoke, or is that a bad play? Because like, you got to talk to everybody.
No, I think it's a bad play. And I talked about this last week with Nick, that I felt like, I know it ultimately ended up going in his favor, but I think that when Natalie talks to him about, give me the jacket, like, I kind of feel like that, to just balk at that idea rather than, okay, well, let's talk this through. Okay. I don't know if I can get the jacket for you. Like, but I kind of feel like that, you know, closing the door in her face, I feel like is more of the bad survivor move as opposed to like what Lursa did tonight, again, was like sort of like closing the conversation. Even if you don't agree with the premise, like, I'd like to keep, like, at least we're talking.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think there's a level where like, you don't, you know, some things are like, this is not part of the game. You know, there's a line somewhere, right? Like, there's gotta be a line somewhere.
Yeah. What the line is, can you get me that jacket?
I don't know what the line is, but there is one.
Yeah. Look, I think the line is,
is like, give me your clothes. I mean, that seems to be like over the line, right?
I mean, I don't think, you know, give me your outerwear is over the line.
Really? So you think outerwear negotiations are fair game?
Yes. That I feel like that, that to me, if I have a jacket and I can use it as leverage in the game, and if I could give you my jacket to not vote me out, I don't know, how this is dirty play in any way.
But you're saying the difference being like, I can give you my jacket versus like you muscling me to give me your jacket, like to give
me, what's
like,
muscling? Are you ripping it off me? I'd like to see you try, Fishback. But if you come to me with an offer of, hey, if you give me this jacket, you can stay.
But that's not how she approached it, right? Like, hey, if you give me the jacket, it was more like, you'd better give me that jacket or you're gone.
Yeah, I mean, that I don't feel like, you know, and he balked at that, and that was also his right. So, I don't think that there was anything that was, you know, and she didn't say, hey, well, then.
No, but you said he shouldn't, but I like that he balked. Yeah, that's the difference. Like, I actually like that he balked. I like that he said, like, this is a strategic game. Mm-hmm. But, like, to me, like, what I like most about players is when they're like, we're in this miserable situation together. We can play this aggressive strategic game, but we can also be kind humans. You know, we can be kind to each other. We can support each other.
But are you saying that you feel like that was the turning point, that ultimately that Natalie reached out to Nick to try to get the jacket? Nick did not like her tact with that, and that is why Natalie got voted out of the game?
No, I wasn't saying that at all. You said that you thought that was... you didn't like the fact that Nick balked at that. I think
it's the better move to, you know, continue to, you know, keep the negotiations open as opposed to, you know, hang up the phone on somebody on Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, I hear you, and in general, I agree, but I do feel like there's an element of, like, if we can all just be nice to each other, you know, like, maybe as we play this aggressive game.
The question I think that really that we have not answered yet with that, and it's a little complicated and a little in the weeds, was Angelina, we know she was trying to get Natalie's jacket. Was she trying to plant a subliminal message in Natalie's head when she talked about, boy, I'd really like Lyrsa's jacket, and then could you see about getting Lyrsa's jacket for me? And then when Angelina votes against Lyrsa, does Natalie say, oh, I know you've been looking for a jacket, here's my jacket? Because she never comes in point blank asks for Natalie's jacket before that. Was she just trying to put a little Angelina seed in her head about, I really could use a jacket if anybody's trying to think about what to get me? A jacket would be so nice out here.
I think that's the kind of thing that someone after the fact will claim to have been doing, but there are confessionals of Angelina specifically talking about Lyrsa's jacket.
Yes. Okay. All right. So I just don't know necessarily how you're getting Lyrsa's. Let's not get too much in the weeds with the jacket. Okay. All right. Steven, lovely catching up with you tonight.
Oh, it's great to see you. I missed you last week. I was just sitting at my computer screen, just like waiting for a call. I knew you were going to be in Reno, but I'm just getting lonely. I'm like a dog when its master leaves, you know, just like watching the door all week long. I just sit staring at this screen waiting for this hour. So it was really great to chat with you as well.
Steven, what is your favorite Halloween candy?
Oh, I mean, it's... You know, I actually don't hate candy corns, but I mean, what's a Halloween? Reese's peanut butter cups, right, obviously. What is there another contender?
I mean, I think
I know Jim Rosario loves candy corns. I hear.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. all right. Steven Fishback and I will be back together. We'll be back with you guys live next Wednesday night after the Merge episode. So be on the lookout for that. I will speak with Lyrsa. Yes, you got so excited for a second. The Merge?
Oh, well, I think next week I'm actually doing the Instagram takeover.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
what will you do?
I can't possibly live up to Tyson's. I think it's just going to be me in my apartment watching on my computer screen.
Okay. All right. So
what have people done? Can you tell me? I haven't been keeping up. I really should be following this.
I think that, you know, the bar is set pretty high. I think that people have been doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Well, I'm going to do something that's very not crazy. So if you're looking for something tame, I'm the guy for it.
All right. So be on the lookout for that next Wednesday night. Will you be doing any Instagram during the Survivor Know-It-Alls?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully. I'll be checking my Instagram feed and kind of ignoring you as per usual.
Okay. All right. So be on the lookout for that next Wednesday night. First Survivor Know-It-Alls in November of 2018. Of course, Lyrsa exit interview. Randy Bailey is coming up. If you want to get your questions in for Randy Bailey, you could email them survivor@robiswebsite.com. You could also get your feedback questions in for Ali Lasher coming up this weekend. Looking forward to hearing what you guys, all your theories about the Merge coming up. So looking forward to that one. robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And of course, thanks to our sponsor tonight, stamps.com. Steven, as somebody who runs a small business out of my home, I could not do all of the shipping of everything that we send out to the patrons without stamps.com. To get a 4-week trial of stamps.com, go ahead, check out stamps.com and then enter the promo code RHAP for a 4-week trial of stamps.com. That's so, look, it's not easy to get anywhere, especially the post office. Go ahead. Give stamps.com a try, Stephen.
Okay.
What are you waiting for?
I'm out.
Okay. All right. And of course, thanks so much to the patrons of Robinson Podcast for making all this possible. Take care, everybody.
Are you still talking to me? I was told to go give stamps.com. Are you still talking?
Steven, you don't have to get up. You do it from your computer. You go.
Oh, this is great from my computer. Oh, this is awesome.
When you're waiting for the next know-it-alls, you can go to stamps.com and it's promo code RJP to get that 4-week trial. All right.
No, I'm just checking comments I do. You're pretty good at it, but you're not as good about it as I am.
About what? Wait, what are you? But you're better at checking comments than I am
on your website. Yeah, and Rob has a website.com.
Yes. But I'm so much better at responding to people on Twitter.
Yeah, you are much better about that.
Yeah.
So, well, I try to avoid Twitter. I get so worked up. It's so enraging.
The comments on the website are not necessarily people talking to me. I feel like they're talking to each other.
Yeah, about the episode.
Yeah. So I feel
that's
like
great. I'm interested.
When people are talking, you know, at me on Twitter, I feel like that's when they're talking to me.
Yeah. Well, at me on Twitter too. Maybe I'll look into this
all
situation.
Right. Follow Stephen Fishback on Twitter at Stephen Fishback. Be sure to check out his blog on people.com. I'm at Rob Sister. I hope everybody had a very happy Halloween and we'll see you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Survivor Know It All. Survivor Know It All.